Have your Bibles tonight, James chapter 2. We're looking at a topic tonight very rarely spoken about. That's one of the good things about going through a book verse by verse. You have to cover it all. I want to draw your attention tonight to the mirror of God's word we've spoken of in James 1, verse 25. Whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed. In other words, every one of us in this room, we have flaws. How many of you understand it? We all have faults. We all have weaknesses and sins. We all have tendencies. Some people are more easily offended. Some people are more coarse and less caring. Some people are harder workers. Some people are less diligent. Some people see sinners and want to help. Some people don't. There are all kinds of sins, and one of the great verses of Scripture that I'm reminded of is James chapter 2, and look at verse 10. Notice the wording. For whosoever, anybody, shall keep the whole law. So in other words, if he says, if you kept every word of the law of the Old Testament, everything, but you did one thing wrong, and yet shall offend in one point, he's a sinner, is guilty of all. Let that sink into your mind tonight. Well, I'm a pretty good wife. The only way you can think that is if you compare yourself to somebody else, not according to the word of God. You see, God wants you to be the best wife you can be, or the best husband you can be, or the best teenager you can be. He doesn't want you to compare yourself to so-and-so because they're not as good as you are, because you heard them talking about their parents, or because you heard them complaining about school or the teacher or whatever. Well, I'm better than they are. That's not the standard. Again, whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty. It gives no quarter. It gives no grace to us. It just says it like it is. And you and I, if we're going to improve and grow in Christ, we cannot give ourselves grace and mercy. We let the Lord do that. But we look at ourselves in the mirror and say, Lord, I've got to work on this and I've got to work on that. And if you do that, you can become a great Christian, everybody in this room. Great and compared to what God wants you to be. Do you understand that God wants everybody in this room to be a great Christian? Great in the ability that God gives to you to use all your abilities to be as close to the image of Christ as you can be. That's greatness. And that's what the Lord wants for everyone in this room. But Satan's plan is to get us, to tempt us to accept less. So the temptation is everywhere. Everybody lets a word slip. Everybody loses their temper. Everybody does this or that. So we look at ourselves and say, well, I'm 80% good or 90%. No, we don't put a number on it. But we just look over at John and say, I'm better than him. Or we look over at Sam, I'm better than him. Oh, look over in Brad, so I'm better than him in this area. And so if we're not real careful, we begin to lose the sight of the image of Christ as our example. And so we become less than what God wants us to. And so we become more hypocritical, because this book will protect you from being hypocritical. Because as you read it and the Holy Spirit takes it and touches in your heart, and use the sword of the word of God, it'll prick your heart and say, you need to fix that. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. In this passage. To him that knoweth to do good, James 4:17, and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So if we see something we ought to be doing, I ought to treat my husband better. I ought to treat my wife better. I ought to be better to my boss. I ought to be better to my employees. I should be better to my sister. How many of you, and you don't raise your hand, but how many of you in your heart, the Holy Spirit's touched your heart, you ought to be better to so-and-so than you are? That's sin. Well, we don't look at that way. We just look as, well, I'm pretty good. Or my husband's happy or my wife's happy or my parents are okay with me, but we're not striving to be what Christ wants us to be. There's a difference. And tonight, I want you to hear two words, well done, at the end of your life, but you cannot hear it if you're not striving to be what Christ wants you to be. You'll settle. Now, I want you to notice a sin that's rarely defined. It is in our society a little different than what the Lord intended, but it all fits. Notice, if you would, chapter 2, verse 1. My brethren, have not the faith. In other words, don't be a Christian. Don't have the truth of the word of God in your heart, having trusted the Lord. Have not the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect to persons. It's an unusual word. The original word is to be face to face with someone and be impressed by their outward appearance. When I say outward appearance, by their countenance. Be impressed by who they are, what they are. By being impressed by their office or their abilities. Being impressed by them, by the beauty of their clothes, by what they drive. And so as a result, you give them a little bit of favoritism that you wouldn't give somebody else. In other words, well, I'll talk to that guy, or that guy's athletic, or that girl's athletic, so I'll talk to them, but so-and-so's not. They're not on the basketball team, or they're not on the volleyball team, or they're not on the track team, or they're not on this or that. And so we think a little bit less of them. I want you to see what the Lord says about that. Take your Bible and turn to 2 Chronicles 19. I want you to see this has been throughout Scripture for a long time. 2 Chronicles 19. You'll see the beginnings of it and how it affected people in the early days. 2 Chronicles 19, verse 6. And said to the judges, take heed what you do, for you judge not for man. Now, I wonder what judge thinks that in America. But for the Lord, who is with you in the judgment. Wherefore now let the fear of the Lord be upon you. Let the fear of making a mistake in God's eyes, of making a poor judgment, of showing favoritism, of not showing grace to someone that has less than you, let that fear in your heart motivate you to do right. Take heed and do it. For there is no iniquity with the Lord our God. In other words, God doesn't show favoritism, nor respect of persons with God, nor taking of gifts. That's why you can't give him a large offering in the morning and get to heaven. Or you can't give an indulgence as a Catholic church and get favor with God. You can't wash away a sin, or you can't get a grace to do a sin by giving money. He said he doesn't take that. God is so consistent. That's the reason his son had to die for us to get to heaven. He is so consistent. A sinner dies. Whosoever knoweth to do good, doeth it not. Timid is sin. He's a sinner. He must go to hell and pay for his own sin. God has this strict standard that he lives by. And everybody that falls short of the glory of God must go to hell and pay for their own sin. Unless I send one that's perfect to pay their debt of sin. Who's perfect? My son. The only way I can show grace to David Pittman and forgive him if he asks, if someone else pays for the sin. That's why Jesus had to die. Because our God is an exacting God. Now, he loves us. And he wants to show mercy and grace. But he wants us to give our best for him. And then he does give mercy. And he does give grace. because we're giving an effort. But effort without knowledge is not good enough. Ask Uzzah as he touched the cart. They did it all wrong. And then David said, we didn't do it after due order, after God's specific guidelines. We didn't bring the Ark of the Covenant into the Lord's house, into Jerusalem, the way the Lord told us to. And that's why Uzzah died. We have to do things the Lord's way. And folks, that's why you can't go to a church and pick out a church based upon what you like. It's about, are they honoring the Lord? And that's what we're supposed to be. Our music is to be honoring to the Lord. Lord, does this bring you glory? Lord, are we doing it from our hearts to you? Lord, are you pleased with us? That is what God is looking for. He's looking for that in every wife. Lord, are you pleased with me? The motivation that you have in your heart is to please the Lord. So when somebody comes into our church and maybe they don't have very much and they sit in the back and maybe it's a homosexual and they don't know everything that's going on and they don't know that God loves them, how are we going to treat them? There is no respecter of persons. That guy's going to go to hell just like the guy over there in a $1,000 suit. That's got a job down at IBM or Raytheon. It doesn't matter to God. A sinner goes to hell. So we have to love everybody. We have to care about every sinner we see. We have to be gracious and friendly to everybody because God loves them. Now notice, if you would, take your Bible and turn to Proverbs. Notice this, Proverbs 24. Look at Proverbs 24, 23. These things also belong to the wise. It is not good to have respect of persons in judgment. He that saith unto the wicked, thou art righteous, him shall the people curse, and nations shall abhor him. But to them that rebuke him shall be delight, and a good blessing shall come upon them. In other words, you ever heard somebody say he calls right right and wrong wrong? That's what the Lord says. But we do it with a grace about us. Jesus sees the woman taking an adultery in the very act, and he looks at her, and if you remember what he did, he goes over and he starts writing on the ground. What was he writing? Well, let me give you a little hint. They started leaving all of her accusers from the oldest to the youngest. I would imagine he wrote a name of some young lady that the oldest man had had an affair with. So he writes her name in the ground. And the guy says, he knows. And he slips out. And he writes things in the ground, every one of them. Maybe this guy's been a pornographer, and he starts writing out the books that he's looked at, and he looks at the next guy, looks at him, and says, oh, he knows. And so by the time God is finished with all of us that sit in judgment, there was nobody left. And he said, I'm not going to judge either, but go and sin no more. In other words, fix it. Change it. I want you to give your heart to me. I want you to change it. What will happen at the woman at the well? Five husbands living with a man changed. The Lord wants every one of us to realize that God loves every sinner, but he expects them to change, to be in his image. Therefore, if any be in Christ, he's a new creature. And so Jesus Christ comes in and gives us the Holy Spirit to guide us. And all we have to do is say, Lord, what do you want me to do? And be pliable and try, and God will bless us. God knows we're not perfect, but you can't have a low standard of truthfulness. Well, I told the truth almost all the time last week. You're respecting yourself in judgment. So now take the Bible and turn with, if you would, notice Proverbs 28, 21. To have respect of persons is not good. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, damn it is sin. For a piece of bread, that man will transgress. In other words, in order to get favor with this guy, he'll lie or he'll cheat or he'll do something, whatever he can do to get favor, to get a good judgment, a good decision with that guy. That's why people cheat to get friends. That's why two teenage girls will talk about something going on, and one of them will tell them a secret. I won't tell anybody. I won't tell anybody so I can be your friend. You made a wrong judgment. If your friend is taking drugs or if your friend is doing something that's wrong, you got to help them. You give them, say, look, I won't tell anybody till tomorrow night, but then I'm going to go tell your parents because I love you. Or you go tell your parents. You got time to do it. All of us in this room have to do the right thing. Yes, there are friends and there are friendships. And the Bible says one that we love somebody, love covereth a multitude of sins. But we help people get out of those sins, not stay in them. So everybody in this room, all of us, we have issues. And we have friends that have issues. So you and I have to learn to say, forget everybody else, Lord, it's just you and I. Help me to fix myself. Help me to look at Drew Gardner the same way I look at Sam Moore. Help me to look at Sam Moore the same way I look at John Macheski, the same way I look at Rich Wiggs, the same way I look at whoever it might be. I'm going to love everybody. I'm going to be consistent with it. You see where favoritism gets you if you look at Joseph and his family. It's ruinous. You can't have four children and treat one of them better than the others. You can't have a church full of people and treat some better than the other people. So you have to look at it. All of us in this room, you and I have to learn to be fair and to be have no respect of persons. Now let's go back and look at James 2 and see what he's talking about. James 2, verse 1. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. For if there come into your assembly, your church, a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come in also a man, poor man, in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, the beautiful clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place. Hey, why don't you come down here and sit near the front of? Why don't you sit right over here? And then you'll notice he says, and say to the poor man or the poor, stand thou here or sit here under my footstool. In other words, we say, look, would you do this or would you do that? And we don't treat them the same. Verse 4, are ye not then partial in yourselves and are become judges of evil thoughts? So he brings our treatment of other people, black, white, green, orange, smart, not so smart, wealthy, not so wealthy, educated, not so educated. And he throws all that in a dumpster and says, look, treat people all the same, as there are people that God loves and wants to see saved. We're all sinners. Nobody here is better than anybody else. Now, notice if you would, he says in verse 5, hearken, my beloved brother. You know what he's saying? Look here. Listen. Listen. This was a big issue to James. Because what was happening is people were showing prejudice and treating people differently as they came to church. If it was a widow, she was sort of kicked to the curb. That's reason for the first seven deacons. Treat people right. Because someone is not as smart as you in school, don't let that be a determining factor of your friendship. Let their love for Christ be it. Their character. Don't let the handsomeness of somebody ask Saul what happened to him. You have to learn to look people in the heart and realize the direction of people and say, I'm going to pick my friendships on the way people love Christ and the character of their heart. Are they going to do right in hard times? Because that's a friend I want. Because they'll stand with you. You know, when I was in school, I was a floor leader, and I had like 96 guys on my floor. And I always tried to be fair to them. And one time, the dorm suit came up to me and said, Dave, so-and-so stole money. And it kept, you know, and we're going to have to, he's going to have to be kicked out of school. And so the end result was he was in the locker room, and he went through somebody's clothes, and he took money out of it. That's what they said. And they'd been having stealing go on, so they had a box and they drilled holes in it and put somebody in there so he could watch to catch the guy, whoever it was, because everybody's getting their stuff stolen during phys ed time or doing one of the classes. And so this guy was caught. And so this young man looked at me at the end, and I sort of struck up a friendship with him, and he looked at me. He said, I didn't do it. And I said, but they saw you do it. He said, no, I didn't do it. I said, how do you compete against an eyewitness? And I said, where did you put it? He said, in my left hand, my right hand pocket. What did you take? I didn't take anything, but you had a $20 bill in your pocket. And he said, yeah, but it's in my right hand pocket. So I went back through the scene with him. I said, okay, show me. So he goes through it and he shows it to me, and he reached in with his right hand pocket, but the guy that was in the box was looking, and the guy had to be left-handed. Come to find out, it got proven that he didn't take it. And at the very end, the young man, you know, thank you for believing in me. How many of you can see somebody when they're telling you the truth and you just sort of believe them? How many of you know what I'm talking about? That's important. And let me tell you this. Wives and husbands, young people, this is why trust or truthfulness is so important. If you ever lie and try to claim, I didn't really do it, and you show emotion, you destroy trust for a long time. You cause someone to judge and have a hard time judging, or they put off judgment. Let me see if they're telling the truth. One of the greatest gifts Susan gave to me was an absolute trust. If I said something to her, man, that was the law of the Medes and Persians. That trust and confidence was wonderful. But everybody in this room, you and I need to have the same thing with our mates. But when you lie, you have to make it right and understand the lack of trust. When you and I say, Lord, I'm trying to do the right thing, the Lord knows it. When you say, I'm coming to church and I'm trying to be all the Christian I can be, but you've got something hidden in the past, that's reading he puts down in verse 10. Whosoever shall keep the whole law, you do everything right, but yet offend in one point, he's guilty of all. You and I can't pick the sin that we want to keep on to. We have to open up our hands and say, Lord, nothing in my hand. I'm willing to do everything for you. It's total surrender. And so remember this. James is speaking. The whole book is about how to show people you're saved, how to show people your Christianity, how to show people your Christ. Look back over. Look at James chapter 2. Look at the very part, last part of it. Look in verse number 18. He says this, verse 14. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? Can your faith save you in the eyes of other people? Can other people say, yeah, he's a Christian? No. Then notice verse 18. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. James, he's from Missouri. Show me. That's what he is. Let me see it. I want to see it. So when you say, tell your parents, I did my best, and you got a D on it, you say, no, you got to be honest with yourself and say, no, I didn't do my best. You can't just try to say I did it to get out of trouble. You have to fess up to it and say, you know, I could have done better. You and I can't look to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm trying my best. Will you bless me? You and I look at ourselves and say, Lord, I see the standard is I didn't measure up. I'm sorry. Notice, if you would, James chapter 2. Verse number 5, he says, hearken, my beloved brethren, listen to me. Hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith? You know, some of the great songs are written by very poor people because they trusted the Lord. Some of the greatest songs were written by Fanny Crosby. She's a blind woman. It's not you got to have all these talents and gifts. You just have to use your heart. Speak from your heart. Speak from your heart to your mate. What you say, make it true and heartfelt. And you'll notice a closeness come. You want to know why a lot of people don't have a close marriage? They're not truthful. And they got a wall up. They never talk with their heart. One of the reasons I enjoyed Susan so much is she always talked with her heart. We talked with each other with our heart. It was always out there. So if one thing came up, we noticed it that quick. Oh, look, I don't want that. I'm sorry. Will you forgive me, sweetheart? So it stays sweet. That's the way we're supposed to be with the Lord. Lord, I'm so sorry. I had that thought. Bring into captivity every thought, the obedience of Christ. When you first start out trying to give your thoughts over to the Lord, it is work. Okay, let me ask you this question. How many of you, when you were not married, you kept a clean house? You're a lady or a man. You kept a clean house. Let me see your hand. When you're not married, your bedroom was clean. Let me see your hand. Okay, how many of you, your bedroom was a disaster and you got married so your wife could help you fix it up? How many of you, don't raise your hand. But what I'm trying to say is this. Look here. So you begin to say, look, I want a clean house. I'm going to work at a clean house. And so your wife goes through the house and maybe there's clothes all over the place or your shoes are not the right place or there's all kinds of stuff going on. And so you want to please that person. So you say, look, I want to fix this. Well, you know, I'm busy and there's dishes piled all up and we don't have anything to eat on. And so I'll get to it later. And the idea is, you know, if it's something that's important to your mate, I want to fix this. There ought to be nothing between you and your mate that you would not do for them, no matter what it is, including dying for them. Husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church, and he died for us. So there's nothing that you shouldn't do for your mate. So when you and I begin to look at things that way, and we begin to look at it and say, I'm not going to leave anything that I know is important to my mate out. So when you look to the Lord and say, Lord, I won't leave anything that I know is important to you out of my life. I'll add it or take it away. Those people become great Christians because they have a focus on the Lord and they're trying. And so he says, look, the first thing, look in verse 12 of chapter 1. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. You know it's important to the Lord that you fight temptation and that you win the battle and that you endure it. He said, I got a reward for that because he knows that's tough. That's true. And look what he says. He shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. That's the only way you can fight temptation and win. And then he noticed, he says, look here. He said in verse number 14, every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. In verse 16, do not err, my beloved brethren. I don't want you to fall into temptation. I don't want you to fall into sin. I want you to take verses 22 through 25. I want you to take my word. And I want you to use it as a mirror of your life. Oh, and by the way, hey, brethren, hearken to me. Whenever someone comes into your church and maybe they don't have as much as everybody else, don't treat them any different. Don't have any respecter of persons. Verse 6 of chapter 2. But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seat? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by the which you are called? You know why we curse, people curse and swear? Because they think they can get away with God. They don't really respect the Lord enough. They don't fear him. If I were the Lord, and I'm not, obviously, but if I were the Lord, every time somebody took my name in vain, I'd zap them. That's it. Done. You know how many people would curse, take God's name in vain? Nobody. Not in their right mind. Because it's instant death. Now, in the Old Testament, what happened if you cursed your father? What was it? Take him out and stone him. So there were no cursing your dad in the Old Testament. You know, the Lord is big on respect. but he's big on respect for everybody. Not based on what you look like, what you got, your intellect. None of that matters to the Lord. He's looking all the way down here. Now, don't get me wrong. I think it does matter, the outside, because it's the first thing people see. And so they look at it and they say, wow, there's somebody that's sharp. There's somebody that's not sharp and doesn't care. The Lord's trying to teach us to love everybody because he did. So if we had somebody comes in, he smells, and it's obvious he's homeless, and he sits in the back. He's got an old scraggly beard, an old torn up shirt. And he comes in and sits down and he says, you know, I've heard this is a church that loves people. Can I sit here? It ought not to be that he's not greeted just like everybody else is. But we're glad to have you. Because have you ever seen an old sinner get saved? I was in the Pacific Garden Rescue Mission, Chicago. I was preaching the Pacific Garden Rescue Mission. Great old big man. The end of the invitation, he came down to the front. His coat was tattered. It had, I'm not going to even tell you what it all had in his coat. And he came down to the front and he looked at me and he said, I've lost everything, but I want the Lord. It was just as easy to talk to him about getting saved and exciting as it was somebody that's a rich man. That I've seen people get saved that are filthy rich, millionaires. It's the same. And you know what? It's a battle to keep it the same. Because one can do something for you, the other cannot. So when you look at your mate, you give great respect, not for what they can do for you, but because you love them, who they are. Your parents, you give great respect, not because of what they can do for you, but who they are. And God says, don't show respect to persons. In other words, I want you to treat people the same. If someone is in your family and they love you, you treat them right. Notice if you would, he says this in verse number 8. If ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, you do well. And all throughout scripture, the greatest command in scripture is love the Lord thy God with all thine heart. And the second one, the royal law, the one that we call the golden, you know, the golden rule is to love your neighbor as yourself. Christians are the first people that ought to do that. And it wouldn't matter if your neighbor's got money or not. If your neighbor's nice looking or not. There's some neighbors that I'm trying to win to Christ and they're not very nice to me a lot of times. It's hard to reach out to them. The first neighbor I ever had was a truck driver. Coarse, mean. But I remember the Lord, I'd like to try to reach him, but I don't even know how. I mean, he is just gruff. Parks that big old 18-wheeler right beside his house in Memphis, Tennessee. But you and I don't have the option to say, I'm going to treat this guy at work because he's nice to me better than that guy at work. If you learn the royal law, love your neighbor as yourself, it'll change your ability to work with people when you treat everybody the same. Because the Lord does. Now notice, if you would, in verse number 9, if ye have respect to persons, what does the next three words say? You commit sin. So, looking at people differently because of who they are, what they are, is wrong. Very clear in Scripture. And then the next verse, he says, for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty in all. So these people were saying, look, we go to church, we give tithes, we do all these different things, but we're not like so-and-so. Do you remember Luke 18? Two people came to the temple. One was a prophet, one was a priest. He comes in and says, Lord, I thank you. I'm not like this guy down here. I tithe each week. I fast and pray twice a week. I'm not like him. You and I cannot do that. Not be right with the Lord. We commit sin. Now that does not mean You and I don't make judgment based upon direction. We do. The people we let inside our circle of friendship, we have to be very careful with, because they can turn our lives. But we love everybody to reach them for Christ. We love everybody to be good to people. You can be good to people and not go out to dinner with them every Friday night. You have to learn to smile and be warm and friendly. Folks, that's Christians. We're the sweetest people on earth. We're the friendliest people on earth because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. And that's what he's saying. Don't show respect to persons when people come to church based upon what they look like, what they're wearing, what they drive up in. Now, I'm not saying anybody in this church does that, but I'll tell you a little secret. You have to be careful not to. And he said, look, I want you to watch it because that's sin. Prejudice is sin. That's what he's saying. Now notice, if you would, verse 11, he gives another example. For he that said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. So you can't pick the one you don't do and say, I'm a pretty good person. You have to take them all. Notice, if you would, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. So speak ye and so do as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. He said, look, you can do anything you want to do, but you better make sure it's right in the eyes of the Lord. Is it right? Now, look very carefully. I'm married. I can talk to my wife when I'm upset in any tone and volume I want, but it doesn't make it right. I can talk to my brother or sister if I want to, because that's my younger sister. I can talk to her any way I want to, but it doesn't make it right. As God's children, you and I have to learn that respect of persons. I can talk to this person because they're in the seventh grade. I'm in the ninth grade. How many of you ever had somebody treat you differently if they were grades above you than your own friends in your grade? How many of you ever had somebody treat you differently? That's respect of persons. And the Lord said, Christians don't do that. You know, you can tell when somebody's a great Christian when he's a senior and he tries to help a seventh grader. You can tell when a Christian's a great Christian when they got money and they try to help a poor man. When somebody's smart, got a lot of degrees, and they help someone that's simple. They don't care. They just want to be a blessing. Tonight, I want to urge you, don't be a person that respects, gives favoritism to somebody else based upon what they can give you, based on what you can get out of them, based on what they look like. Notice, if you would, verse 13, for he shall have judgment without mercy that hath showed no mercy. And mercy rejoiceth against judgment. God loves to give us mercy. And because he's the Almighty, he can give us mercy when we don't deserve it. Now I want you to notice, he says, verse 14, what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? You know what he's saying? Can your faith save you in the eyes of your neighbor? Because remember, it's all about show. It's all about affecting someone's life. It's all about letting your life be a blessing to someone else. And that's the reason he says, look, you can't just say I'm a Christian. You got to do it so that people see it. A lot of people have misinterpreted the book of James as a works-based book. But you'll notice, if you would, in verse number 19, thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. Let me back up to 17. Even so, faith that if it not works, it is dead being alone. It has no power. It is dead. It has no ability to make a difference. If you remember, listen to this. I'm going to read you one other verse. You know, I'm not going to tell you where it is, but listen to it. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. It has no power to make a difference. It is empty and useless. It doesn't mean he's not going to heaven. We know that person's going to heaven. Take your Bible and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Notice with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 14. If any man's work which he hath built thereupon, and what is he built upon? Verse 10, the last sentence, let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. What is that? The foundation is the foundation of Jesus Christ. Verse 11, for other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So when you put your faith and trust in Christ, the rest of your life you're building on it. So notice in verse 14, if any man's work abides which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. If this next phrase weren't there, I could believe in a works-based salvation. Yet, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. You know what? The Lord is saying, I'm going to take you to heaven, but you're going to lose all your rewards. So tonight, what do you want people to see? Your good works are the only way they can see Christ. How many of you at work, there's somebody you'd like to be able to reach at work? Let me see your hand. Okay, start tonight by saying, Lord, what can I do to reach that person? And forget what color they are, how much money they have, where they go to college, how many degrees they have, how handsome they are, and realize they're on the way to hell unless you can show them Jesus. Young people, same way at school, show people Christ. Let's be real. That's what the Lord wants. Let's bow our heads for the prayer tonight. Why do you think the Lord, through Scripture, says, if you keep the whole law and offend in one point, he's trying to get us to understand, raise your standard. Not hold anything back. But have a word of prayer. If you need to come tonight, maybe the Holy Spirit has touched your heart about something in your heart. Maybe there's one sin. Maybe there's one attitude that you have. Maybe you're short with somebody at work. Maybe you're short with somebody in your family because you can be. Could I just urge you to come to this altar and say, Lord, forgive me. I'm sorry. Show Christ this week by your good works. Lord Jesus, speak to our hearts this week. Help the husbands in this room to show Christ to their wives. Help the wives to show Christ to their husbands. Lord, help brothers and sisters to show Christ to each other. Lord, especially when we walk outside this building, help us to show Christ to those people we live with, work beside, and meet. In your name we pray.